This is the season of waiting, the solstice waiting for the light of the sun to return, the Hanukkah waiting for the oil to arrive to again fuel our lamps, the Advent waiting for the birth of a Messiah, the waiting for the rose to bloom even in the cold of winter. Let us not rush this time of waiting. Instead, let us light our fires, our candles, to give witness to this time, to mark the richness of this practice, and to guide us on the sacred journey of these days. As Katie Weeks and Dave Kay come forward to light our chalice, I invite you to turn to the chalice lighting words in your order of service. We'll read them together in unison. Candles, fire, and stars, these are the symbols of this blessed set of seasons. Candles for the banishing of darkness, fires to warm hearth and home, stars to beckon us, guiding our footsteps to the holiest. This is the time of year we share the light of many traditions. Next week we'll light our Hanukkah menorah, 2 weeks later we'll light our Yule log, and today we'll light the first candle on our Advent wreath. The practice of lighting an Advent wreath comes to us from the ancient solstice custom of hanging a wagon wheel decorated with greens and lit with candles as a way of saying that in the midst of the dark winter days, the sunlight and the growing green plants will return. Christians adopted this practice of lighting candles on an evergreen decorated wreath as a way of preparing for the coming of Christmas. Each of the candles of the Advent wreath stands for a message of the season. Today we'll light the first candle for faith. And I invite Jen, our visiting student minister, to light that now. In the words of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. In our non-creedal tradition, faith does not consist of holding prescribed sets of beliefs, but might be best described as a deep trust that has the power to guide and sustain us, especially in difficult times. Today is the first day of a season called Advent. It comes from a Latin word, Adventus. And do you know what it means? Does anyone know what Advent means? Anybody? Well, we're going to learn. It means coming, arrival. Something is coming. It's a season when we're looking to the fact that something is coming. And so, what are some of the things that are coming? Sheena? Winter, Christmas, yup. Anybody else? Yes. New Year's, other things. Messiahs, yes. Hanukkah, other things. Santa Claus is coming to town. Yes. What else? Some people's birthdays. Anybody in particular you had in mind? I guess we now know. Okay, that was subtle, actually. Yes, yes. Kwanzaa, yes. What else? People's anniversaries. Lots of things are coming. They're all things that we, during this season, are waiting for. This is a time when we're waiting. And it's also a time that when we're waiting, we're getting ready. We get ready in a lot of ways. We get ready by doing things, but we also get ready by waiting attentively. And that's what I'm going to be talking about later with the adults, but I wanted to do it with you. And one of the ways that we look forward to something coming is that we mark the days on our calendar or whatever. We count the days that are leading up to something special. So does anybody know what this is? It's an Advent calendar. Let's see. Is there someone who'd like to help us with the Advent calendar? Come on. First hand up. So one of the things I want you to see, this is an Advent calendar, and you see on each of the figures and the animals, there's a number. Do you know what those numbers mean? Those are the days, right? Okay. So this is the first day of Advent. So can you find the little door for the first day of Advent? Well, you didn't take much time at all. And what, can you see if there's something in there? See, there's a little prize in the calendar. The sheep is like the sheep in the story. And there's a little way of as we think about during our waiting period, we experience a little bit of the story, a little bit of what's coming, with each little door we open. And with each door we open, we build more anticipation because we're getting, eventually we'll go through them all and open them up. So, this is an Advent calendar. It's a way of counting the days. Would you like the sheep? Okay, you get to keep the sheep. Thank you. Great. And, so, as you go to religious education today, I'd like you to think about this season as a season when something's coming, and about what are the things that you do in your family, in yourself, to be ready for what's coming. Some of you may not know it, but we have a partner church in Transylvania, and most of the folks in that church are quite poor. Next week, I will, as I do every year, send the minister $500 from our minister's discretionary fund to purchase gifts for the elderly and the children. The elderly get a big basket of staples, things like flour and oats and oil and those kinds of things. The children get some little trinket toy and some chocolate. And it's our way of helping and being connected to Unitarians in a very different part of the world. Also, many find it surprising to learn that the oldest Unitarian churches anywhere are in Transylvania. They date back to the 1500s. And they have a beautiful tradition there. And this hymn that we will now sing to enter our time of meditation, in fact, comes from that tradition. You may remain seated, and I invite you to join in singing the hymn, Find a Stillness. It's number 352. Today's spoken meditation is a poem by May Sarton, which seems so appropriate for this season. The Phoebe sits on her nest hour after hour, day after day, waiting for life to burst out from under her warmth. Can I weave a nest for silence? Weave it of listening, listening, layer upon layer. But one must first become small, nothing but a presence, attentive as a nesting bird, proffering no slightest wish, no tendril of a wish, towards anything that might happen or be given, only the warm, faithful waiting contained in one's smallness. Beyond the question, the silence. Before the answer, the silence.
Our reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, then, to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
During the next few weeks, I suspect that most of us will be asked many times that question of the season. Are you ready for the holidays? The media is already bombarding us with that question by constantly reminding us of the number of shopping days left until Christmas. At a purely secular level, the question of the season means, do you have your shopping done? Have you cleaned the house? Are the decorations up? Are the holiday cards in the mail, the cookies baked? You know, so often, we are the Marthas in the story from Luke's Gospel that Jen just read to you. We're running around trying to get it all done, perhaps even getting annoyed that we're running out of time or that some member of our family isn't doing what we'd like them to do to help us. Now, I don't want to suggest that this kind of preparation is unimportant. All the doing, especially if it's done with family and friends and in a loving and sharing way, can in fact even be a spiritual practice itself. Trimming the tree, baking the cookies, lighting the candles, those can uplift us and provide us with meaningful experiences in the holiday season. But I think we have to admit that so often, all the things we worry about getting done and rush around to do at this time of year actually obstruct our ability to see and engage with what's really important about this season. Most of us, I think, are haunted at this time of year by what I'd call the secular interpretation of that question. Are you ready? But there's another kind of question about being ready for what's to come, for the holidays, for the experience of new light coming into a dark world. And that's the spiritual question. Are you ready? In the biblical story that you heard this morning, it's Mary's kind of being ready as opposed to Martha's kind of being ready that's the focus of this Advent Sunday. And what does Mary do to be ready? She waits attentively, open and ready to receive something wonderful. And what does Jesus say to these two sisters? He scolds Martha, telling her she's spending her time worrying about unimportant things. She's distracted by too many things. And he says that Mary, by the way, has not lifted a finger to help her sister with all this doing, has chosen the better way. Distracted by too many things. Does it sound familiar? Especially at this time of year? Like Martha, we find ourselves doing all the things that we think we have to do to get ready. You know, Martha's trying to do the right things to be ready for her special guest. But in all the doing, she's missing the very thing that she is preparing for. Her preparation is the wrong kind of preparation. Now, I've got to say that I feel sorry for Martha in that story. And I don't think I'm alone when I say that I identify with Martha in the story. I've been there many times, trying to get everything done and make it right to the point where I exhaust myself and lose focus on the real event. Poor Martha gets chastised while Mary, just waiting to hear words from Jesus, is praised. It seems a bit harsh. But I think we know, especially at this time of year, that this truth and what Jesus says to her. In that story, we begin to see how it is that a certain kind of waiting is a way to be ready for something special that's about to happen. Every day, especially at this time of year, we're given the choice to be a Martha or a Mary. We can get a lot done being a Martha. And Lord knows that there's so many things to do. But if we don't take some time to be a Mary, we can entirely miss, I think, the powerful message, the spiritual sustenance that this season has to offer. It seems to me that the one essential message of Advent, and by the way, also of Hanukkah and the solstice, and certainly also in non-Western traditions like Buddhism, the one essential message is that a certain kind of waiting, a waiting with expectation, a waiting with a sense of receptivity, attentive waiting, is necessary for our spiritual sustenance. Advent tells us that it is not what we do, but how we wait that will determine the quality of our holiday experience. In the words of the great spiritual that the choir just sang so beautifully, we are to keep our lamps trimmed and burning so that we're ready and able to see what comes in our time of waiting, what comes to us. So being ready is not just about all the doing. Something's coming to us. It's about the spiritual readiness that comes from a certain kind of waiting. There are many kinds of waiting. There's the mundane waiting, such as when you are on that endless hold after calling about the problem with your credit card. I mean, don't you just love it how after about every 3 minutes they interrupt the Muzak to tell you how important you are, and you're sure, right, I've been on this phone for a half an hour and I'm very important. And there's the annoying waiting of waiting in long checkout lines at the grocery store. You know, I am not the best waiter. I've got to confess to you that I sometimes go to the 24-hour grocery store at 11 p.m. just so I don't have to wait in the checkout line. Waiting can seem like such a waste of time. Not long ago, I read an article, which I find incredible, quoting an efficiency expert who calculated that the average American living today will spend 6 months of his or her life waiting at red lights. Hard to believe. A friend of mine tried to suggest that you should use that time as a spiritual practice to take advantage of it. And I have to tell you, I don't recommend it. If you ride with him, he's constantly having to be alerted by honking horns that the light has turned green. But even worse than the waiting we endure to accomplish the mundane is the terribly anxious kind of waiting that most of us have experienced at some time in our life. Maybe it's waiting for the results of a medical test, or waiting for news from a loved one in a dangerous situation like a war or natural disaster. Not long ago, I was with someone whom I consider really a rather strong person. He had some troubling medical symptoms and had had a series of tests done. It would take several days before the results of those tests would be available, and he was beside himself. "Look," he said to me, "I can handle whatever the diagnosis is. What I can't handle is the waiting." And I'm sure there are others here that have felt that same way, including me. Neither the annoying, mundane waiting nor the anxious, fearful waiting seems like they qualify as the kind of waiting that the French philosopher and mystic Simone Weil called the foundation of a spiritual life. The kind of waiting of which she spoke, the Advent waiting that the mystics and poets and spiritual teachers call us to, is something very different. You know, a certain kind of waiting is a central theme in all the great religious traditions that I'm aware of. It's a constant thread running through the Hebrew Bible, and of course it's what connects the Hebrew text to the Christian scripture. And time and again, the psalmist writes, "My soul is waiting for the Lord." And the message is always the same. Good things come to those who wait. And just as the spiritual benefits of waiting are extolled in Scripture, the inability to wait appears as a signal of spiritual weakness and immaturity. The prophets are harsh with those who give up their attentiveness to what's coming. And there's that famous scene with Jesus just before the crucifixion where the disciples repeatedly fall asleep, unable simply to wait with him. The Christian story, particularly as it's told in the Gospel of Luke, where you heard an excerpt from today, actually opens with everyone waiting. Mary and Elizabeth are waiting for the birth of a child. Simeon and Anna are sitting in the temple waiting for the young Jesus to come to them. While Martha rushes around, as you heard, Mary just waits. The spiritual waiting is not passive, but active. Simone Weil, in her book, Waiting for God, says that this kind of waiting is more intense than searching. That term, active waiting, can seem like an oxymoron. But I think if you engage in the spiritual practice of waiting, you'll find that there's no contradiction in terms. Henry Nouwen, the famous Dutch Catholic priest who authored so many books on spirituality, wrote, "Active waiting means to be fully present to the moment, in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present in it. Active waiting is full of expectation. Simone Weil described it as attention animated by desire. It cannot be forced upon us like those other kinds of waiting, but it is something in which we must choose to engage. Active waiting involves opening yourself up to let in what comes. The late Unitarian Universalist minister Harry Schofield actually described meditation itself as the practice of pausing long enough to let things happen inside you and things to come into you. It's another way to say that a spiritual practice is all about waiting. But it doesn't just happen. You have to prepare yourself to engage in that kind of waiting. Rituals of meditation, prayer, the reading of scripture, of poetry, the lighting of candles, walks in the woods, all these can help with that preparation. In Advent, we recognize that something is always waiting to enter our lives. It's not always something we understand. It's often not what we expect. But it is a guest. And you have to invite the guest within. You have to be prepared to hear the voice you're not expecting, to make the move you've not planned, to find the good and the possible in what has been difficult in your life. Welcoming the unexpected is a saving theme in religion, and it can be in our lives too. You know, from the Christian perspective, Jesus was, or the Jewish perspective too, Jesus was anything but the kingly, regal kind of Messiah that had been anticipated. Spiritual waiting is an invitation for something to come into you. When we spiritually wait, we invite what is in us to speak. The Sufi poet Rumi, as I've quoted before, once described the experience of being human as being a guest house, where we must open the door and welcome what comes. In Advent, we're reminded that we need to extend an invitation from our soul. You know, you can say it in all sorts of ways, all sorts of language. We did this morning by singing the 9th century hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, inviting love and light and truth to come within us to dwell. We also did it in the beautiful words of the 16th century poet George Herbert that we just sang before the sermon in that beautiful setting by Ralph Vaughan Williams, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life. Or you can just say it, you know, hey, I've stepped out of the hectic rush for a moment and I'm listening for what that still voice inside me has to say. It doesn't matter how you say it. When we do, we meet the guests of love and hope and truth and peace, even the guests of challenge and struggle. We meet them in the ancient stories of the season. We meet them in the stars and in the candles and in the gatherings that we have this time of year. But they don't really come in unless we're ready to entertain them. So are you ready to entertain them? Advent is the time before the big holiday, that time when we send out the invitation. The great religious traditions teach us not just to have great holidays, but also to mark the time leading up to them. We don't just observe Christmas or Hanukkah or solstice. We observe the waiting time leading up to them. This practice recognizes that we have to be prepared in order to partake. But we have become rather confused, I think, about how to prepare. It's not about more shopping or more doing, more running around that makes us ready, but it's about more attentive waiting. The spiritual practice of waiting involves patience, lots of it, and simply staying put. You have to be willing to stay where you are, knowing that in the situation you are in, something will happen. You will discover a hidden treasure. You don't have to seek it elsewhere. The message of Advent is that the seed is already planted in you. What's required of you is attentive, patient waiting for the flower of spirituality to grow and bloom. You know, in Advent, we're right at the edge. The rose is a bud. We know it will open, but we can't rush it or force it. We have to wait for it to reveal its beauty. And finally, spiritual waiting involves faith. That's what we lit our candle for this morning with the words from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. That's how we must wait, with assurance that the good is there, that it will come again, and with a conviction that there is more for us and for our families and for our world than we can see on the horizon right now. And by faith, I don't mean an unwavering allegiance to a particular creed or set of beliefs. I mean a deep and abiding sense of trust in what you understand to be at the core or the ground of your being. When we wait in faith, we trust that something will happen. And it may not be what we had planned. It's in this trusting that we remain open to possibilities. You know, it just doesn't work to control the direction of your waiting. You have to let go of the idea that your will, determination, or intelligence will lead you in the spiritual direction. For a spiritual path to emerge, you need the open space of waiting. Getting ready for what to come means cleaning house, clearing away a lot of the clutter and distractions to make room for that which is waiting to come in. You know, in our tradition, we often describe ourselves as spiritual seekers. And I think actually we need to let go of that definition just a bit and allow ourselves to be attentive spiritual waiters. What Advent teaches us is that the time before, the time leading up to the big event, is just as important as the event itself. No joy of Christmas or solstice or Hanukkah comes into our hearts without preparation, without marking the waiting time in some way. It's why we light the candles, open the little door in the Advent calendar, or make the cookies. These are the ways we get ready, the ways we prepare, the ways we wait. If we do not engage in active waiting, it will be difficult to be ready for what's coming. Oh, you can get a glimpse of it and may even vaguely feel the spirit, but the real depth, the insight and joy that's waiting for us, only comes to those who are prepared for it. What about you? Are you ready for the bud to open? Are you ready for the joy, the love, the good to come into your life? I know it may not be the best holiday season for some of you. Maybe you're out of work. Maybe you're dealing with illness or difficult relationships. Maybe you've lost a loved one and the joy of life seems gone for good. You may be overburdened just by the pressures of all the doing. All these things can make it hard to be ready to welcome what's to come. But the guest is on the way. Something good is coming, even and especially if this is a bleak and sad time for you. The real challenge is to be ready so that we can see it for what it is and receive it. Advent asks the question again and again, are you ready for what's coming? Certainly do some of what Martha did. Prepare the table. Make the home ready. But most importantly, do what Mary did. And that is, prepare yourself. I hope it's a blessed season. Thank you.